This might be the last one of this year. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not technically the last one of this year. We might record one more.
But this one will be the last one they're listening to.
You know,
unless you're like, how many more weeks we got in this year?
There's enough time left that this it won't be the last one. You messed up.
How did I mess up?
I mean, it's not going to be the last one this releases year. That's
I'm like overthinking it. I'm like, oh, I messed up, like you can't hear me or something like that. Like, I'm so intent on, like, I feel like a lot of pressure on this episode. Like, I've got to get it right. I've got to, like, this is the big leagues. This is our, like, end of the year, like, celebration.
It is true. You got to be ready. And this one, you're more involved, right? You've slowly been, I've been bringing you in and making you more of a gamer each year. First year, it was just me spouting my favorite games at you. And then last year, we kind of had a little bit more between the two of us. And now you're a part of it. You've got to have your opinions. Hope
yes,
you're ready.
Yes, and I've got opinions. I'm ready to go.
All right, then let's cut the cold open bullshit. Let's just get straight into it. Let's not even worry about doing something funny beforehand. Because there's plenty of funny coming, right? Something.
That was highly aggressive.
Like, we're aggressively funny, goddammit. You better laugh.
Please like us.
You can't follow it up like that.
No, that was good. I had to be the counterpart, the yin to your yang.
That was like bad cop, sad cop.
I mean, I think that could work. What, you want bad cop, happy cop?
We don't need the... you know what? I'm just going forward. We said we were moving straight into this. We got to stop beating around the bush. We got a lot of stuff to talk about this week. So,
it's a gamer. Da-da. We're here. It's a gamer. Da-da.
Game of the year, but we're gonna call it the manatees. This makes no fucking sense, but we're doing it anyway.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer, the procedurally generated podcast that's a roguelike for your ears. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with
Harvey Z in the place to be.
And it's the long-awaited manatee episode of 2020, although I don't even know if it's long-awaited or not. The point is, it's our yearly roundup of all the games back in 2018 when we first did this. Harvey came up with the name. Since it's T-Man doing his awards, we're giving out the manatees.
I feel like it does need an explanation, yeah. But you're welcome, people. You're welcome.
Yeah. And so this year we're doing something a little bit different. So I've got my personal five favorite games of the year.
Five
to talk about and discuss.
Sure.
What was that?
Yeah, I've got five. Sure.
I mean, you don't have to have five, but like I've always done a top five for the podcast. Yep. So I've got my five ready to go. And we also sort of came up with a couple of categories of slightly different than usual game of the year, end of the year awards, not just like the nicest graphics and the, best story and that sort of thing. Like, We went a slightly different on a slightly different tangent, and we got a couple audience participation awards in there as well. Yeah, the fans chimed in. One fan chimed in and used the same game for every category, which
spoilers. I mean, we could
that's
like
fine.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to it. Let's go through the categories first,
okay.
And then I think we'll hit like the specialized stuff for like my top five and what you want to talk about after we do the categories. Does that sound good?
That works. And actually, I was counting up my stuff. I actually have top five games I wish I had played. I can just put them all in a little thing.
Do you have an actual game of the year though?
I do.
Okay.
I mean,
all right.
Yeah. It's like back and forth. I have two nominees, and I think one of them wins.
Okay. So let's go ahead and get started. The first category was nicest smelling game.
This one was tough because I didn't know why you picked this category. but I had to go around and then smell my games.
So you actually physically smelled them all.
Are you not a smeller?
I mean, I don't sniff my games.
But do you sniff things you like?
Well, yeah. Like, if there's something that smells nice, I like to smell it.
Well,
but so I don't, like, go around sniffing non-smelling things or things that I don't consider scented, if that makes any sense.
So, do you sniff books?
Okay, I had good. To think about that. Like, not, like, intentionally. No.
But, like, if you're in a really good book or you really like it and stuff, you don't just, you know, give it a little sniff to see if it has that old book smell, if it has that new book smell. Like, sometimes they can smell really great, and sometimes, yeah, it's nothing if it's too new. But, like, I'll smell my books.
Okay. Well, I probably don't. Anyway, what game passed the smell test for you?
So this was tough because most of my games didn't come with instruction manuals. And so I'm used to, like, that's what I'll smell. But I couldn't do that. I'm going to give it, and, like, smelling little cartridges is weird. I'll just say that. But I went through, I smelled all my cartridges. The downloaded ones, I couldn't really smell my computer. I'm going to give it to Breath of the Wild here.
Oh, so Breath of the Wild smelled pretty good, better than everything else?
It did. I mean, it was, again, the criteria was like, was most of them were computer smells, Switch smells, or like empty plastic boxes. And like the cartridges are kind of interesting. I played it, and so I had to pull it out and then smell it and stuff. Like, I did research for this thing. What is your choice? What did you go around smelling?
So my choice was Fall Guys. Because I feel like the little bean dudes, they've got to smell, like, fruity, you know? Like, they've got to have good scents.
But you don't know.
I'm hanging out with the Fall Guys, you know, they're all different colors, and some of them have, like, costumes and, like, weird sort of shit on them. But they're, like, all these bright, nice colors, and they look like jelly beans, so they probably smell good, you know? They've probably got, like, a nice, good, fruity food smell.
Wait, my mind is blown here. We could have just looked at things and guessed what they smelled like.
That's look, the whole thing was, you know, you interpret this category how you wanted to interpret it, and you this apparently is, went completely literal.
This award show is a scam.
Look, that's your
I
opinion.
I thought you were
man.
A sniffer too, man. I thought we were like sniffer bros.
We are not sniffer bros. And don't ever say that again. All right. Well, so we had a couple audience members and fans write in what they chose, but I wanna do all of ours and go through each of the categories, and then we'll do the fans' choices one by one.
Makes sense.
Because there was only a couple that added their opinions to it, but I would like to actually go through them all. So the next category was best game you didn't play.
So yeah, I feel like I have my five, so I can hold back because I'll just talk about these five games and then I guess one of them will win.
Okay. All right. So you actually have a list.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my best game that I didn't play is a game called Ghost Runner. Which I don't know if I talked about on the podcast. I don't think I did, but I watched people streaming it a little bit. And it's basically Mirror's Edge meets, I don't know. It's a first person platformer that has like really quick action and sort of that like one hit and you're dead and you have to start over.
First person?
Yeah, it's like a first person platforming game, and like you're like basically this cyber ninja and you get different powers and can like run across walls and deflect attacks, and it's very like fast paced and really cool looking, and it has that sort of setup where it's like you have to get through each area perfectly and then, you know, you move on, but if you die it's like one shot, you're dead and you start over, like real fast load time. Almost like games like Super Meat Boy or, you know, those sorts of getting so through an area without being hit sort of thing. Katana right. Zero. Like, I thought it looked really cool. And if you're into, like, that sort of, like, action platformery sort of game. That was high on my list to get, but I haven't gotten around to it because I've been playing all the other stuff, and you know, I don't want to spend too much money, you know. Next category, in this category it was specifically for you, so I hope you enjoyed it. Best game with the letter Z in the title.
I appreciated this category, and actually I was trying to figure it out, and I realized there is, I feel like, a right answer. And it's a serious gamer. Well, I think just overall, we might even agree with this.
Okay.
It was like, this was inspired actually by, I believe, one of the fans who wrote in as well. Yakuza, Year of the Dragon, I think deserves this one. This is the best.
Well, you didn't actually play it though, but you
I looked at the games that had Z's in it. This was the one.
Alright. I mean, that is fair. I mean, you did go with Breath of the Wild, so I didn't know if you were going to do like Civilization 6 or something.
I didn't know if it came out this year. I tried to be 2020. I know we didn't stick with it, but I tried to be more relevant.
Well, all right. Well, you are correct in that we agree, because my choice was also Yakuza Like a Dragon. Not Year of the Dragon. Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Oh, wrong then. Whatever that one is. The one we talked about, I think, last time.
Yeah. No, you have it right. You just said year instead of like.
There's a lot of fucking Yakuza games out there. I realize.
Yes, there are.
I was trying to look it up, and I was like, oh shit! Like, yeah. Anyway.
I'll be talking more about Yakuza, but what?
Like Yakuza 5, did it come out this year as well?
So they've been doing a lot of re-releases.
Ah.
I think the original Yakuza first game came out on either the PS2 or PS3. And so they've kind of been doing re-releases on new systems and everything. Because it was originally PlayStation exclusive, but I think they've all been also available on Xbox now, which might be why it showed up as a release this year, because it might have been released for Xbox.
That makes sense, because I basically looked up like Wikipedia games of 2020 released, and it kept having repeats for each new system kind of thing.
Next category, game you'd take home to your parents.
Ooh, I thought about this one as well. I didn't go sexual with it, you weirdo. I assume you did.
What? No.
No? Like,
why would I take something sexual home to my parents?
Because you're going to,
what kind of Oedipus thing do you think I'm on?
All right. I'm not going to get into that one, but I'm going to point out, like, the game that you would, like, normally if you take it home to your parents, you're kind of, like, introducing it to them, as in, like, look, mom, dad, parental figures, whoever you may be, I'm going to, like, marry this game. That's where I was like, I don't want to go that route, but I assume that's what you meant by the category.
I mean, you could take that any way you want, but I still don't understand how that means sexual.
Well, I mean, you're going to, like, make sweet love and have babies or,
not
like,
in front of your parents.
No, but you're basically, like, introducing them to, like, this is the thing that I'm going to fuck. Like, that's a level in relationships that you get to.
I have never thought of that when I have thought, you know, take someone home to my parents. That is literally never how I've thought about that.
So, like, currently, like, with relationship statuses, I've never reached that level in a relationship where I'm like, hey, mom and dad, look what I fuck. I've never gotten that point.
But see, that's this. Oh, God, no. Like, that's not how.
I
want to take this person home to meet my parents. What I'm thinking is, I love them. You know,
yes.
Like, this is someone I have strong feelings for and want to have them meet people who are important to me. Not, hey, mom and dad, this is who I'm fucking.
Or like, I want to fuck. It's like, this level is serious enough that if you picture me fucking, it's going to be with this person. That's basically what you're doing.
I feel like that view is actually the opposite, because, like, millennial and everything is a lot less, like, there's a lot less, like, virgins waiting to be married sort of thing. Like, if you're like, fucking, you're not bringing everyone you're fucking home to your parents.
Which is why it's that level of seriousness of, like, hey, mom and dad, you don't need to know everybody I fuck, But this person, I want you to know that I'm fucking them.
Right, but that's specifically means the sexual part is not why you're bringing them home to your parents.
I feel like, though, it is in the sense of you need them to see that. And they need to, like, now, because otherwise your parents would have no idea who you're going around fucking. But now they know. And now they're like, okay, maybe this is the one they're going to produce offsprings with. And then they can wish, and now they can visualize what the offspring can look like and stuff. Because they now have an idea of who you fuck.
Okay, you know, it has been a long time since you've actively given me a headache over the way you've interpreted something. So, you know, another win for 2020. You managed to sneak another one of these in here.
I will say, okay, what game did you pick? Animal Crossing, of course. Because, you know, okay. I'll explain it. Because this is a game that I think my parents would actually enjoy, and I don't want them to think about me fucking it. But rather, hey, let's play this like civilized people as a game. And why think about the sexual nature of like bringing people home to like show mom and dad?
But I went wholesome. Can you stop saying sex and fucking, please? Like, this
was supposed to be wholesome. I had a wholesome reply for Animal Crossing.
You were the one that started talking about it like this.
We went down a random tangent on like my thoughts on bringing people home.
Yeah, but.
Yes, Animal Crossing, wholesome game, good to bring home to the family. I think my mom and dad would enjoy playing Animal Crossing.
Okay. All right. I've got to recover, you know. That really took a lot out of me. That mental jump.
Now I'm like, what did you interpret this category as?
So I interpret it as a game that I would want to show my parents because they might want to play it.
Okay, we agreed. We actually agreed. Yes,
which is why it surprised me that you accused me of it being sexual out of nowhere when I had absolutely no intention of that. And I hadn't even thought of it like that, except your twisted mind brought it up.
I thought that that's what your twisted mind would go, and mine went wholesome. So that's why I'm saying you're agreeing with my category and definition.
No, I am agreeing with my own category, and you came up with some figment of your imagination that I was coming up with something dirty just because I created the category. You put me in the hole. I didn't go in the hole at all until you brought up you thinking I was in the hole.
It's too easy. Let's move on from the whole.
Anyway, I cheated a little bit on this one because I didn't actually. It's one I primarily played in 2020 because I didn't get it until the very beginning of this year. But it was technically released last year. But the game I chose was Ring Fit Adventure, which is the exercise game on the Switch.
A literal whole game.
But, you know, I thought about Animal Crossing, but I don't think either of my parents would get Animal Crossing in a lot of ways that some of my friends don't get it. Like, what my dad would be questioning, like, what's the point of this? Why are you, like, what's the goal? Why are you just walking around talking to people? Like, aren't you supposed to, like, be doing something? Is there an objective? Mm. You know, both of my parents were most strongly invested in video games during the Wii generation when there was like actual mobile, you know, motion controls and, you know, like Wii boxing and Wii tennis and all those like get it up and doing stuff with the game. And so a game like Ring Fit, this like exercise but built into an actual game, is probably the one that they would be most interested in and most likely to play.
Versus so, like, yeah. Super hot and VR is the future for them.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think VR is going to pan out the same way. Like, I feel like the Wii tapped into a very specific sort of like.
With Animal Crossing, for me, it was very specific in that I was thinking of my mom. My mom would use Animal Crossing purely to interact with myself. Like, I feel like I would just get postcards every day from her.
Probably. Yeah, I could see that. I could see my mom doing that, too, if she could figure out how to play Animal Crossing. I don't know if she would actually get that far, though. Next category is Best Game Bug.
This was a tough one, because I mean, I know we've talked about bugs, but, like, it's been a while. And, like, I myself am trying to think of if there was a game that I played this year. I played some buggy games, or, well, they were just shitty games. Like, I don't know. Like, that's why I had a hard time with this one. I'd have to listen to you.
All right. Well, so what I chose was a bug that wasn't from a game I actually played this year, but it was one that happened this year that we talked about earlier in an earlier podcast. It is from our favorite game.
Fallout 76.
Fallout 76, and it's the bug where NPCs would start stealing equipment from dead players and not giving it back.
I didn't have an answer for this, but I was like, my answer is probably something Fallout 76 related. That one is great.
Yeah, if you don't remember, there was a bug earlier in the year where if a player died near an NPC, the NPC would start picking up random loot, but the game wasn't designed for you to be able to kill and or take items back from NPCs, so they would just permanently take good guns and just, like, walk around with them, and there wasn't anything the players could do about it if they happened to, like, die within the range of an NPC. And I think it's been fixed. It's been a while since this bug actually happened, but just the idea of, like, the AI rising up and stealing from players, like, it always makes me laugh. All right, last category that we have is a most jam-packed game.
I had a serious answer here. So, I mean, I don't know if it's funny or anything, but I feel like there was a game that I didn't play that I think was... I actually wanted to play it, and then you told me about it, and then I was like, it's too much for me. And that would be, I believe, Crusader Kings 3?
Uh-huh. That's true. Like, that's a good one.
I did want to play it, and then you kept complaining that there was too much, and it's got a steep learning curve, and I'm like, it seems like it's got too much good stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, that's actually a good one. I appreciate that answer. I went a slightly different way.
Literally?
And I actually chose Yakuza Like a Dragon again. Because Yakuza has so much content in it and so varied, like, there's all sorts of things you can do, but it never gets old. And, like, whenever you're tired of doing one thing, you can just go randomly do something else, and there's just so many options in the game. Like, there's a mini game where you manage your shareholders and do investments and property buying and selling and that sort of thing. There's a Mario Kart mini game where you just drive carts around and fire weapons at each other. There's a baseball mini game where you just go to a batting cage and hit baseballs. And then, of course, there's the actual story, and there's side quests. And, you know, there's just all sorts of different things you can do in the game. And it feels like there's so much content, and they managed to pack all of it in there and have it not be like Crusader Kings 3, where it feels like it's too much. Like, this to feel, I'm just so happy to be playing this. Like, I'm doing all sorts of different things and still not tired of the game.
Interesting. Like, I didn't, when you described the game, I didn't think of it in that way, but it sounds like then it's a bunch of different, like, it doesn't feel incomplete or weird or anything because you can pick up and start anything you want.
Yeah, none of it feels like it sticks out or doesn't belong or anything. Like, this is just added for the sake of having another mini game. Like, it's all stuff you can do, and it's fun and weird and just a great game.
Okay, interesting. Cool.
All right, so we've got, those were our six categories. We didn't go too crazy with it because I wanted to be able to also have our top five and other discussions and everything. So real quick, let's go with our fans. Oh. First person that replied to us was my friend Matt, aka Infinite Rewind on Twitter. He was the one that I guested on his podcast earlier this year, Story Route Zero. And so he gave us an answer. So his answers, his pick for nicest smelling game was Hades. I don't know if he actually sniffed his cartridge or I think actually Hades is digital, so I don't think he would have went around doing that.
He would have had to sniff his Switch then, or whatever he played it on then.
Maybe. Best game he didn't play is Umurangi Generation. That is a game I don't actually know anything about. So
me neither. Oh, wow. Okay.
I can't answer anything about that, but that is the game he chose if you want to look that up. Best game with the letter Z in the title was Kentucky Route Zero, which I assume is sort of what his podcast's name is based off of. Game you take home to your parents was Jackbox, which I feel like is a good choice. Yeah.
It's a little dirty, Jackbox. It can get a little bit R-rated. I don't know if I'd do that with my parents, but yeah.
I mean, but it's a good party family game. Yeah. Like it's easy for people to play it all together, I think.
It's a good answer. I approve.
Best game bug, he said, is the bug where he was just Miles Morales' head swinging through NYC.
Oh God.
And then most jam-packed game, he said, was Neo 2, which I could see. Mm-hmm. I only got like a third of the way through it, and I had already put like 20 to 30 hours into it, so I could see that having a case. And then someone I'm not sure, they go by Red X Mod on Twitter. They also replied to the Make Me a Gamer podcast question for the game category. So thank you, Maud or Red, I don't know how you want to be referred to, for your answers. They chose Final Fantasy VII Remake for the nicest smelling game because it's full of flowers.
Okay.
Best game they didn't play was The Last of Us 2, which feels like a pretty good answer, although I don't think there's a lot of people who didn't play Last of Us 2.
Game of the year. Makes sense.
Best game with the letter Z in the title was Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Nice. Yes.
Game you'd take home to your parents was Astro's Playroom, which is another one, a good one that I agree with. It's a very cute game. It's the pack-in game for the PS5, so I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but I've seen screenshots from it, and it is adorable, if there's a word to describe it. Best game bug. They say it's not a bug, but Miles Morales apparently crashed on them 13 times. So Miles Morales getting some love from the fans in the buggy game category.
Interesting.
And most jam-packed game for them was also Neo 2.
And yet you played Neo 2 though, because I've never heard of it, I feel like.
Neo 2 is the Japanese sort of samurai Dark Souls like game. The one where, like, the first one was a white guy coming to Japan.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Never mind. We have talked about this one.
Yeah, we've talked about that. And I did play Neo 2 this year. Then, I didn't realize Overbob also weighed in. I didn't see that since the last time I checked. But Professor Q weighed in first and guest of the podcast. And he basically only played Hades. So he answered Hades for everything.
Even the game except Okay, I was about to say.
Except for the game he didn't play, which he said Spiritfarer, which is a game I sort of have an interest in, but I also feel like it might be too depressing for me because it's about a person who sort of... It's like Animal Crossing, but you're shuffling people to the afterlife and like you're getting them through like having them be comfortable with their own deaths before they move on. And I don't know. I don't know if I could handle that, but I've heard it's very good if you like sort of like story games that might make you cry multiple times.
That's exactly how I feel about this game, because I've been looking at Spiritfarer and I'm just like, not this year, man. Not this year.
Yeah, no, I definitely this year is not the right time for me to play it. All right, so Overbob weighed in, so I guess we've got four. I apologize. He said nicest smelling game was Ori and the Will of the Wisps, which I can see that smelling pretty decent. It like takes place in nature and like has like a cute fuzzy guy and a bunch of animals and stuff. So best game he didn't play was Last of Us Part 2 as well. Letter Z was also Yakuza Like a Dragon, which he apparently only learned about through the podcast. So, you know,
and that's where my answer came from, was I actually saw Overbob's answers and I was like, oh, this is a good answer. That's why I took it.
Game I'd take home to parents is Half-Life Alyx. And he says that VR is going to be big, and Half-Life Alyx is like sort of like the prime VR game right now. It came out this year and did a lot in the VR space that people haven't done before. So, good answer. And Bug, he doesn't have any memorable ones himself, so no answer for that one. Most jam-packed game, I'm going to go ahead and give his actual answer, which is Doom Eternal. And that had a lot of doomy goodness in it, and it was almost a little too packed with doomy goodness, especially according to some people. They thought it did a little too much and could have been a little more streamlined. But there you go. There are some answers for the categories of weird shit that I came up with for having awards on instead of just having the usual top five best games of the year that everyone else does. And speaking of that, let's talk about our top five games of the year like everyone else does.
Sure. I have a little bit of a subcategory to it, but yes, mine is the top five that I wanted to get or play this year.
All right. So how do you want to do this? Do you want to do like my number five and your number five sort of?
So I didn't really put them in order per se. So I was just going to, I don't know how you want to do it, because also, like, these are games that some of them you might know and some of them you might actually have played and would be able to be like, oh yeah, you should totally get it. And maybe I'll get it next year to be a Game of the Year contender.
All right. Well, so why don't we do it like this? Do you have one that's like your definite, like the one you would have put for the best game you didn't play category, like a number one?
I think I do have a number one of the five. All right. Yeah.
All right, well then let's save that one for last and just do the other four in any order. Like, okay. Not necessarily a countdown, but
A top. These are not numbered, and I can even explain a little bit why, but you might know that, T-Man, knowing me.
yeah.
The first one is one that I know you have played and I wish I could play. It's XCOM Chimera Squad.
Yes, yeah.
Like, I feel like that's a very me game. I love fucking XCOM. I just can't play it yet on a Mac. And I'm very jealous that you've played this game. And it's a tactics game. So even more like,
Yeah, yeah, I agree. You would definitely like to play that game. And it's definitely one of your games to play. And it's actually, that one's probably going to be in my top 10. But it didn't quite make the top 5 because there were so many other good games this year, and it was also like a much like shorter XCOM experience and not like the full XCOM 2 sort of game.
And then the next one, this is a little bit weird, but it hits on a note if you know me, and I don't even share this aspect of myself. Desperados 3.
Oh, interesting.
I might have once played a demo of this type of game. And I really secretly love this type of game. And like my Steam list is filled with like where Desperado 3, it's this overhead view of a map and you have like 3 or 4 specialized characters and you can either sneak or fight or kind of do multiple things. But you have to basically solve the puzzle that is this map with like completing objectives, like go into this and kill this person, rescue this person and save them. But it's this top down, almost tactical view game that happens in like real time. I love those fucking types of games, but I've not played any of those fucking types of games, but I love them. And I haven't built up the courage ever to like get those games. Cause there's Shadow Tactics. There's like a samurai version. There was like a World War II one when I was younger, and Desperados 3 is like cowboys and stuff. And I just look at it every time on Steam and I'm like, one day. So
that's
cool.
Yeah. I've heard of that, but it's not really my type of game. But yeah, that's cool.
Because no one can sneak up on you on that one because you have a top-down view, but it is a sneaky type of game. And that's what always like pushes me of like, I won't be good at this, so I don't play them.
Gotcha.
Then the next game you probably have heard of. This is a little bit, it's Coffee Talk.
I have heard of it, yes.
It is a pixelated game. It's sort of like a story game, but it sounds super chill where you're basically a barista who like listens to your like coffee shop patrons' concerns and you like make them drinks. And it's like lo-fi chill hop music background. Like it just sounds like a Animal Crossing style like chill game for 2020 that I probably would have enjoyed.
Yeah, I heard there was a lot of talk about that game when it came out, and I heard like mixed opinions on it, so I never ended up getting it myself. Mm-hmm. I'd be interested to hear your opinion on it if you ever got it.
Like, again, these are games that I just came close to the edge, and this one, like, I could see myself getting it. It doesn't seem like it's a long game, and it's apparently the genre is a visual novel, so I think I could beat a visual novel. Mm-hmm. If I play it, maybe next year we'll have, like, a piece on, like, this game.
Definitely.
And then the next one, I actually came super close to buying this game for the Switch. Like, it was on my, like, Amazon list, and then I take it off, and then I went back and forth. I ended up buying, like, Breath of the Wild instead, but Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Rescue Team DX. I came so fucking close.
I've kind of always wanted to get into the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon games. I feel like I would like them a little more than regular Pokemon because they're roguelike Pokemon. So, I don't know. It's like I played Pokemon Conquest, which is basically Pokemon Tactics. That I really enjoyed, and I wish they made another one in that series because that would be really fun.
They did. I would be interested. Anything with tactics, I'm like, oh, this one. Like, I just went back and forth on would I like this or not, because so like the last Pokemon game that I really truly played was Pokemon Red, and my original 151, and that's it. But like this one, I was like, oh, you're like two or three different Pokemon, and you get like, it just seems so weird to me that like this is where the genre has gone to. But I'm looking at it and they're like, oh, you can become about like 30 Pokemon in this game, and I'm like, I want 151 Pokemon, and if this game came with 151 Pokemon, then I'd get it. Even though I probably wouldn't want to actually play with 151, but I'd want to, you know, feel like it was a big game. And I don't know why. Like, I went back and forth on, like, do I get a Pokemon game? It's been forever, and I decided against it. And then I have one more, but that's the winner one, so I'll hold it off.
Well, but you go ahead, since this was your, like, game you haven't played, and then you also have, like, your actual game of the year. You said you had two of those, right?
I can nominate. There was three games that I really played a lot this year, and one of them obviously won, but yeah, I can talk about that as well. But this one, this is so the game I haven't played, so I guess to fill out your answer to your category, but the one that I wish I played, or really for me, I wish I owned, Streets of Rage 4. It's
nice.
I really, really, really love it, and it's just like right on the cusp of like, I'm going to buy it most likely, but I'm just not right now, and I'm just going back and forth on it. And this one and the other game choice that I would have picked that just doesn't exist, so it hasn't come out yet, is the Scott Pilgrim game. If they released a Scott Pilgrim game on the Switch, I would buy it.
I mean, they are.
But it's not out yet.
Yeah, no, it's coming out next year.
So next year, that'll be the game. Maybe it'll be the game of the year. I'm calling it now.
I think I messaged you. Like, if you ever get Streets of Rage 4 and like want to play it, like do like a multiplayer thing, I'd be down for playing it with you.
Again, this is the one that I came so close because I remember that message and I was just like these last three games, Coffee Talk, Streets of Rage 4, and like the Pokemon one, I was literally like just fingers inches away kind of thing from buying them. And then I just like for some reason held back.
Well, I will say this. You have another Game of the Year candidate coming to Switch next year as well.
Another?
Because Disco Elysium is finally getting a Switch release next year.
Ooh, from what you told me and stuff, like I'm so close all the time on Steam, but I kind of want it on Switch for some weird reason. So, yeah, I would definitely get it.
It's coming to Switch next year.
So this means there's already two games on my like list of games to get for next year on the Switch, which is Scott Pilgrim and Disco Elysium. Like, again, I think back, I've been listening to the old podcast where I'm like, I might own like six Switch games. And it's just like, no. Oh, boy. But yes, so those are my game choices. After this, I just have my game of the year. And then I do have, as a bonus category, worst game of the year.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. So let's go through my top five. So these are sort of in order. Yeah, these are mostly in order. So number five on my list is Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Okay. I've heard of this game. I know you like it a lot.
Yeah. Like, it's basically more of Spider-Man from 2018 with Miles as the protagonist. It's a slightly shorter game. It didn't take me nearly as long to finish. Not that Spider-Man was a long game either. Mm-hmm. But it feels good, you know? It's a solid, quick story. Not every game needs to be like a 40 to 50 hour saga. Like, I'm glad that Miles Morales was actually a shorter game. And, you know, the characters were great. The web swinging was still good. It didn't do anything, like, stunning. It was just more of Spider-Man, which was my game of the year in 2018, I think. Yeah, it was. And just because it's more of that, obviously it's going to be on my list. But it didn't, like, break any new ground either. It didn't, like, wow me. It didn't have that, you know, initial, like, holy crap, I'm actually Spider-Man factor that the 2018 game did. Because, you know, I'd been Spider-Man already. But it's still a high quality game. Very good. I played it on PS4. The PS5 apparently has even better graphics and all that sort of stuff.
Is that why it's kind of five, though? Because it hit everything perfectly, but it just didn't go beyond?
Yeah. Like, it was solid, you know? It's... Mm-hmm. It's like when you order something that you've always ordered from a restaurant and like it's good and you mm-hmm. always like it's your regular food. You like it a lot and, you know, you don't regret getting it. But then occasionally you go to a new restaurant and you order something you've never ordered before and it just like blows you away. You know, like you weren't expecting to have such a good meal, you know, that sort of you get what I'm saying?
I totally do. This is my General Tso's chicken of meals where I'm like, it's going to be good. And when it's good, it's great. But I know it's General Tso's. I know the notes it's going to hit. I know where it is. It's comfort food.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my number five. Number four is probably one of your games.
Ooh.
And that would be Animal Crossing. Because there isn't any way I could not have Animal Crossing in my top five.
I had a feeling you wouldn't put it for the game of the year because we've talked about Animal Crossing at like, should it be game of the year versus like for 2020 maybe? It's Animal Crossing was the right game for the right time.
Yeah, like, and I'm still playing it. Like, I've been messing around with the winter stuff and, you know, snow on my island.
And oh, there's snow? Man, yeah, I still haven't gone back since the summer, August.
Yeah. Like I had a guy move out and another person move in, a deer, almost a reindeer maybe even, moved in just in time for Christmas. So, yeah, you know, I'm still having a good fun with it. Like, it is the quintessential for me. Like, I don't really feel like investing in like a story game or challenging or just like having to think. So instead I'll just pick up Animal Crossing and just say hi to my villagers, pull some weeds up. You know, it's like that, it's almost zen like where like I can play a game but I'm not like strategizing or doing that sort of like stressful like, oh, I'm doing another Slay of the Spire run now or that sort of thing.
Yeah, I totally understand, and it's basically, you've said why it is in one of my contenders for Game of the Year.
So that's number four. Number three is a game that we have mentioned already on this podcast multiple times, and that is Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Ooh. So it's not your number one.
It's not my number one.
Wow. Okay.
Like, just to be clear, the top three, this is a really hard decision on my part. Like, I, even when I'm talking about this right now, I'm still debating whether I've made the right choice for number one and number two. And like, and in any other year, Yakuza Like a Dragon could have been like the surprise latecomer winner at the very end of the year sort of thing. Like, because I was not even expecting to buy Yakuza this year, much less put so many hours into it and find out how much I love it. Like, this Yakuza is the RPG I've been waiting for a long time. Because, like, I've been sort of out of RPGs for a while and not really wanting to get into, like, the 70, 80 hours of just doing RPG stuff. And then Yakuza came along and just, like, hit me like a brick. And it's so good. The storytelling is good. The combat and the RPG and just everything. I love the game. It's humor. It is worth playing. It's as in like an entry to the Yakuza franchise. If you're not a fan of brawlers, if you are a fan of brawlers, I have a feeling the other games are just as good, but this one hits all the boxes I was looking for because I'm much more of an RPG turn-based kind of person over like the action brawlers. So yeah, Yakuza, high praise. I still haven't even finished it, but I'm on like chapter 11 of, I think there's 15 total chapters, so I'm pretty far into the game, but I keep getting distracted and doing like side quests and stuff, so I will probably finish it before the end of the year, but you know, I'm still working my way through it, but I'm definitely like enjoying it, and I can't imagine it'll falter at the end for any reason.
You're like, oh, this is a shit game now.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But now, number two,
like, I'm trying to guess. There's one that you haven't said that I think is in there, but then I'm like, what's the other one?
Yeah. So number two, this is really hard because I've been going back and forth ever since I played this game on whether or not it was gonna be number one or number two, and like it's been a fierce battle the entire year, but number two is going to be Hades.
Oh man, I thought that would be your number one. I reversed the order. Okay. I'm excited. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Hades. No, you really love like Hades.
Hades is just phenomenal roguelike. It and Slay the Spire have basically become my go-to. I feel like doing a roguelike run. Spelunky 2 has actually gotten in there, but I'm really bad at Spelunky. So that's a completely different story. But yeah, Hades is just so good. Everything about the game design is phenomenal. I love the music, the action, the characters. I've beaten it. I want to say I'm at 20 some clears, maybe up to 30 now. I don't remember exactly what my count is at this point, but like I've never beaten a roguelike that many times. I think that and Slay the Spire are the only games I've put so much time into that I've beaten double digits in terms of like roguelikes. Like I played a lot of Enter the Gungeon, but I was never good at it, so I don't think I ever even beat it. And like other roguelikes I've played and like maybe finally gotten to that and like I'm cool with it. Like I think Dead Cells, another game I really like, I've beaten it once and I've gotten pretty far multiple other times. And I still enjoy doing runs in it every now and then. But Hades is just that game. It just had its claws into me and I was doing multiple runs a night and just getting really into it. And like all the ways, all the abilities and everything mesh well together, like, I could talk for hours about this game. And I did when I guessed it on my friend's podcast.
Which podcast? Ooh. Shout them out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I shouted them already, but it's Story Route Zero. My friend Matt, who goes by Infinite Rewind on Twitter. And yeah, back in September, I guessed it on his podcast and talked a lot about Hades. And that one is my number two game.
Alrighty.
Now, so then,
yeah,
I'm excited. So do you know what my number one is?
I think so, then. I think so.
Well, we'll see. But before I get to my number one, do you want to talk about your like honorable mentions or the ones that aren't your number one from this year?
Sure. Well, I'll just name all three because they're the three games I played the most this year.
Okay. And
the three games I played the most this year was Animal Crossing, which we've talked about. I played a ton of Breath of the Wild. And then recently I've gotten super back into Hearthstone Battlegrounds specifically.
Gotcha.
Okay. And so of those three, I was like, which one, I guess, wins the whole shebang? not to like delay it or anything. Breath of the Wild ended up winning for me.
Oh,
like,
cool.
Animal Crossing was really, really good for 2020. Breath of the Wild, while it's an older game, like made me kind of fall in love with gaming to where we've had discussions about me like playing games for a while, like wasting entire weekends where I would do nothing but like play this game. No other game, I think, outside of like the Fire Emblems really caught me in that way. And then after playing Breath of the Wild, I was like, now I want to go and play other Switch games. I want to play more games. That's what Breath of the Wild did. Even though, like, to the point of where I've reached one of my old dilemmas, which is I'm 75% of the way done, and so I've stopped playing because I don't want it to end. And so I haven't touched this game in a couple like months, unfortunately, because it's that sort of thing. Like with books, this will sometimes happen where it's just gotcha. Like I don't want it to end, and I'll just start delaying the last chapter.
Well, I mean, I get that, and I understand you, but like, come on, man, finish the game. You can do it. I believe.
I will at some point. Like, I'm just gonna. Yeah, it's so good.
So before I do my number one, which people probably have guessed at this point, but I'm, you know, gonna delay it just a little longer. Do you want to do your worst game of the year?
Sure. There were two contenders, actually. One of which I don't even remember the name anymore. It was a stupid vampire eggplant film noir game. Do you remember
did
that?
Did you play that this year or was that last year?
I don't even know. It was so bad that it got nominated again. Like, it was like, I don't even know. However, I think there's a game that beats it, unfortunately, for this year.
Okay.
And it's a game we've mentioned actually before, which is to say, unfortunately, Black Sad is my worst game of the year. Now, maybe it'll change. Like, I've only played a bit of it, but it's so painful. Like, I played Breath of the Wild, which came out before Black Sad. Black Sad says it was made and came out or made in 2019. But and like released this year, it is choppy and like slow and like frustrating to play compared to like such a smooth game. It doesn't really give you any introduction to it. It doesn't really introduce the characters. I happen to have gotten like the collected works of Black Sad because we had joked about this game, and I read Black Sad and I got super hyped up. The comics are brilliant, beautiful, and amazing. And this is sort of like a love letter to them in that, like, oh, all the characters from the comics are going to be in here. They're part of the story and stuff. But like moving around in the game is just, it hurts. And then like doing things in like, playing this game sucks. I would rather watch like a Black Sad movie or something rather than like this, if that makes sense.
Oh, that sucks. Well,
yeah, that's why like I don't have high hopes, because the thing that I dislike about this game right now is just moving around and such, which is the frustrating part. And that's like the rest of this game. I'm sure there's more content to go, and at some point I'll continue to play it, but it made it hard to play after like 2 hours of that. And just like, oh, yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Well, in spirit, since you had a worst game of the year, I'll go with mine. And I don't think I even talked about it on the podcast because it was such a blip on my radar. And it's probably because it was designed for mobile originally. And then when it came to Switch, I was like, oh, I wanted to get this, but it was only on Apple Arcade. And then it was released on Switch this year, and I was like, I'm going to pick it up because I want to play it. And then the Switch controls just did not work. Like, it was really hard for me to play, and I think I maybe did, like, one or two runs in it and then just gave up and shelved it and never touched it again. But that game is Exit the Gungeon.
Oh, I thought you would have liked this one. I saw it was, like, a game made this year, and I was like, oh, you might like that.
Yeah, no, I got that because I loved Enter the Gungeon, but like it must have been designed better for mobile, or maybe it handles better with like a touch screen. But like when I tried to play it with controls and everything, I just, there was too much going on, and it had the frenetic pace of Gungeon, but it didn't have the feel of like the tight controls the way that Enter the Gungeon does. Like it just felt unwieldy and not good to play. And so, yeah, so that game is the first one that comes to mind, because I don't really, when I've gotten to the point where I, most games I play, I've curated well enough that I'm going to enjoy the experience. And like the only other thing that even comes close is maybe Avengers, which which is a game that I like, I still liked in certain parts. There were just other parts that really got on my nerves, but I wouldn't say like it was a bad game. It was just like a game that made bad decisions.
yeah. You were disappointed in that game.
Yeah, like you know, I'm not mad at it. I'm just disappointed. That is how I feel about Avengers, really. Which is weird because, you know, Square Enix published Avengers and it was in the running for the worst game of the year. But Square Enix also published my best game of the year. And so my number one game, which shouldn't be a surprise if you know me, and I did kind of stop talking about it a lot because it is a very story-heavy game, so it's not one I go back to like Animal Crossing or Hades or Slay the Spire. But my game of the year this year, it was Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Mm. Disco Elysium then didn't come out this year, did it?
No, Disco Elysium was my game of the year last year.
That's why I was like, oh, it's Disco Elysium, because I was like, Final Fantasy might be his game, but I was like, he's not going to count that. That's not a new game. And so I just, that's why my mind, I was like, oh, it's going to be Disco Elysium. And I didn't even think Final Fantasy was in the running, because I thought it disqualified itself.
No.
I was waiting for it to pop up somewhere.
So Final Fantasy VII Remake is an entirely new game. And I went over it back in when I was originally talking about it, but the fact is, it is not only a new game in the sense that it like changes how the combat works and like takes the story from the first game but puts new twists on it, and like it does something that only like a video game can do, which is it's retelling the game, but the characters are like aware of how the original story went. And there's this entire meta commentary of like how the characters are like fighting their fate, and how it's sort of like how the people are designing the game and wanting to make a new game, and but the fans are like trying to make it so that I just want the exact same game again, but with nicer graphics.
Forgot about like, that aspect. Yeah. Wow.
And so that's, and so like how I said, you know, Miles Morales was like this comfort food that, you know, didn't really do anything new, you know, but it still felt good to play. Like, I can go back and play Final Fantasy VII again and again, and that will be my comfort food. But Final Fantasy VII Remake gave me something I didn't know I wanted. Like, I went into it expecting it to be Final Fantasy VII, but with better graphics. But then they put this twist on the story, and they changed up everything, and I just love the game even more for that. And it was like so hard for me to go. I was going back and forth because like Hades was this like mechanical, like I loved the way the story and the roguelike and everything put together. But Final Fantasy VII, just like between the nostalgia and then the actual like putting a twist on the nostalgia and giving me something different that I still enjoyed, and like making me be like, okay, I'm excited for where they go with this. Like, it's not just going to be them telling the same story again. That one ended up having to be my game of the year. Like, I set it down and I'm like, all right, there's just too much tied to it. Like, the music, oh God. I don't know if I talked enough about the music, but God, the soundtrack and like everything about how the music was done for Final Fantasy VII Remake, I love it so much. Oh, I can't wait for the next one, which will come out in another 5 years. Who knows when I'll actually play it, but, you know.
I was about to ask, is it just coming out next year? Probably not, then, I take it?
No. Like, they said they've started working on the next one, but there's no timetable on it yet, and who knows if it'll probably be on PS5, so I don't know how assets will work and how much they can carry over and how easy it'll be to like continue. But I am absolutely looking forward to it. And another thing I appreciated about it, it's too early to say for Hades because I don't know if they're going to do anything about it. But like Final Fantasy VII Remake, it was a game. Like there wasn't any DLC. They didn't add new stuff later. There weren't any microtransactions, or there was some weird shit with the advertising and like Butterfinger and whatever.
Okay.
But like, yeah, they did like this thing where you got like free backgrounds for your PS4 if you bought like 5 chocolate bars or something with Butterfinger. I don't know.
That's so retro that I'm okay with it. Like, yeah. Like Pepsi yeah, money or like, something.
Yeah, it wasn't like missions or anything either. But yeah, like it was a solid game, and they're like, we're not going to do any DLC for it. Like, we're just going to get started working on the next one. And, you know, I like that. I like it when games just are games. And Hades is a lot like that, too. Like, they haven't said they're doing any DLC for it yet. They might be able to, like, add new gods or something if they want to. But, like, I like that it's its own just game and not having to worry about new stuff, DLC, whatever. You know, I like having my experience. Because one thing I've noticed, and this is just a random tangent before we end here, whenever games add DLC later on, I never really get into them. Like, I don't want to go back and start playing more DLC for a game that I haven't played in like 3 months. You know? I don't know. I'm like, oh, that DLC sounds cool, and I like download it, but then I never actually play it a lot, and I don't know. Anyway, that's it for me. So,
and thus brings 2020's manatees to a close.
Yeah, that's the end of the 2020 manatees. We have an old game, wow, that Harvey Z gave Game of the Year, and an old game that was made new for my Game of the Year. So that's that. I don't know what we're going to do for our last 2020 episode. I have an actual idea for it that is kind of funny, and I'm not going to give it away just yet. I want Harvey Z to come into it without knowing, because it'll be a fun recap to not only 2020, but our podcast in general, I think.
Oh boy.
So all right, we'll look forward to that next week, and then we'll see you in 2021 probably. And hopefully 2021 is a cooler and better year than 2020 was. Although for games, 2020 wasn't that bad. I'll just go ahead and say that.
Well,
where can they find you, Harvey Z?
You can find me on Twitter at TheZIsSilent.
You can find me on Twitter at TManPlaysGames. You can find our podcast at Make Me a Podcast. You can always email us at MakeMeAGamerPodcast@gmail.com. You can find my writings at TManWrites.com. You can join our Discord in the link below. You have any thoughts, questions, comments, complaints, concerns about our Game of the Year roundup? Feel free to send it to us anywhere of those places that I just listed. And that's it for the manatees. Another year in the books. Harvey Z, take us out.
I just want to say, like, 2020 was a weird fucking year. And, like, if you've been listening to this show, thank you. And have a nice happy holidays. And stay safe, folks. Stay safe. We'll get to the next year, and there'll be more podcasting stuff to come. Thanks for listening. Okay. I don't know why. I just felt, like, fucking sentimental.
Yeah, no, that's great. Perfect. We'll end right there. Nothing funny, just nice, sappy end of the year. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.